app, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The Biden administration is defending a decision to extend Trump-era barriers to keep migrants from crossing into the U.S. at the southern border. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandra Mayorkas speaking at a meeting on the issue in Mexico.
From day one, this administration has made clear that a border wall is not the answer. That remains our position.
President Biden says previous funding approval is forcing the government to extend the wall. With migrants overwhelming cities like Chicago, Los Angeles, and New York, the administration will begin deporting thousands of Venezuelan migrants. CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez.
This is a major shift in policy, and the administration hopes it will deter future Venezuelans from entering the U.S. illegally.
Former President Trump is backing a candidate to replace Kevin McCarthy as House Speaker. CBS's Tom Foti from Washington.
On his social media platform late Thursday, ex-President Donald Trump endorsed Ohio's Jim Jordan for House Speaker. Jordan's a longtime Trump supporter who's refused to cooperate with the earlier House investigation of the January 6th pro-Trump riot. He now chairs the Judiciary Committee.
Congressman Steve Scalise is also vying for the speakership. McCarthy was stripped of his leadership role this week by a faction of his own Republican Party. A new Russian missile attack in Ukraine has killed a 10-year-old boy and his grandmother in Kharkiv. That's the same region hit by a strike that killed at least 51 people at a wake yesterday. This man spoke to the BBC through an interpreter.
People had gathered there for a memorial meal. Who could launch a missile at them? Only absolute evil.
The boy killed in today's attack, pulled from the rubble of a building in his Spider-Man pajamas. This year's Nobel Peace Prize was awarded this morning to Narges Mohammadi, who's imprisoned in Iran for her fight for women's rights.
Altogether, the regime has arrested her 13 times and sentenced her to a total of 31 years in prison and 154 lashes.
Her husband says the award will only embolden her fight. One of the most dominating NFL linebackers of all time has died.
Dick Butkus played football with a religious fervor.
CBS Chicago's Marshall Harris.
Butkus was just at Soldier Field when the Bears kicked off the season last month against the Packers, a place he dominated as an 8-time Pro Bowler, 6-time All-NFL player in 9 seasons from 1965 to 1973.
His family says Butkus died peacefully in his sleep. He was 80 years old. S&P futures up 10. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Hi, this is Dr. Brad Schaefer. As a podiatrist, I can tell you no two people's feet are alike, which is why I recommend Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotic Inserts. They're customized for your feet, so you get a unique solution your feet really need, not just a one-size-fits-all insole. They're clinically proven to provide pain relief for achy feet, knees, lower back, plantar fasciitis, and heels. Take the Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotics Assessment in Walmart today, now in the foot care aisle.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The key slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle. New gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike. And the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
October 6, 2023, 6 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. Welcome in, everybody. Normally that music means the one, the only, the Pat Kreitlow Show. Well, not the Pat Kreitlow Show, but Up North News with Pat Kreitlow usually comes on at this time. Pat is not here this morning. He continues on his well-deserved vacation. I am Todd Allball filling in along with the regular producer and engineer, Mr. Sam Davison. Sam, glad to have you along. As always, thanks for making me feel so welcome here the last couple of days and last week as well. And I'm sure it'll be nice to have your regular host back on Monday.
I mean, it's more work for me to do when Pat does everything that he does with his show.
So Sam's like, just, you know, take your time, Pat. Yeah. If you need an extra day or two, it's fine.
I mean, I'm going to be glad to see him again, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, we'll be happy to see Pat. He'll be back on Monday along with Sam and all the regular features of Up North News. As we said, it's 7 past the hour of now 7 o'clock. Checking the roadways across Wisconsin, there had been that accident down in the Racine, Kenosha area, but it looks like that has cleared up on the interstate. Be aware if you're going particularly northbound on the interstate there by Racine, Kenosha, you could run into some slowdowns this morning as there was a pretty significant accident. That has now been cleared, although traffic is taking its time getting back to normal. Also, Highway 26 going north to south around Rosendale this morning. Looks like there's some extra delays there, maybe caused by some road construction, that type of thing. But the rest of the roadways across Wisconsin look to be on time for the most part, at least as reported by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. There may be a smaller fender bender where you're driving, so drive carefully this morning. Looks like as far as keeping things on the road in terms of wetness or dryness or freezing rain, of course, we're not quite that cold yet, so no worries about freezing rain or fog at this point. But yeah, looks like everything is on time. Temperatures across the state, mostly in the mid to upper 40s right now, a couple of 50s near Lake Michigan, over by the Waukesha, Manitowoc area. Otherwise, most of the state in the mid to upper 40s right now. Going to see some rain spread across the state. We're going to get a complete weather update here after the next break at 15 past the hour of 7 from Weatherology. As far as sports goes last night, the Chicago Bears were able to find a way to win last night on Thursday Night Football. They beat the Washington Commanders by a score of 40-20. On the sad side for the Chicago Bears and their fans, and quite frankly, all of football, Dick Butkus, the iconic Chicago Bear, died yesterday. He was 80 years old. No Major League Baseball yesterday, as all those first-round divisional games ended up being sweeps. Of course, including our own Milwaukee Brewers, as they were swept by the Arizona Diamondbacks. So no games last night. Play will resume here, I believe, tomorrow is the next game. game for the playoffs of the divisional series. No major college football games last night, although tomorrow is a completely different story. Our own Wisconsin Badgers will be back on the gridiron tomorrow after a week off. That was their bye week last week. The Badgers get back into Big Ten play tomorrow. Kickoff 11 a.m. at Camp Randall. They will take on the Rutgers. Sam helped me figure out the Scarlet Knights. We don't play them that often, and they're just way over the East Coast out there in Jersey, and so you don't think about them that much. But yes, the Scarlet Knights are in town, and God love them. You know, and by the way, I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for the Badgers tomorrow. I think it will be. I think Rutgers will keep it close, particularly in the first half. So the Badgers better be ready to come to play. The fans better be in town. I will be there at the game tomorrow along with my lovely sister. We'll be cheering them on as loudly as we can. And also taking in the loud music of Camp Randall. We'll check it out tomorrow. Badgers play tomorrow, kickoff 11 a.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can hear the Badger game with Matt LaPay and Mark Tauscher on WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN Racine Kenosha, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and WLAK in Amory. And here's the best part. If you don't live in one of those fine cities, you can still listen to the Badger game on the Civic Media app. Just go to your favorite app store in Apple and Android. Download it. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. That is Civic Media. It'll pop up, little C-M in the logo. Click on it. Takes less than a minute. It is free. And as Gail King says, it's a deal. The Civic Media app, you can listen to the Badgers this Saturday, tomorrow, 11 a.m. kickoff against Rutgers. And you can also listen to them. I won't pontificate too long, but yes, you can listen to Badger basketball as well on the Civic Media app. Because once again, tomorrow, if you're going to watch, if you want to watch the game, there was a big news story here in Madison yesterday on this. We talked about it on our show from 1 to 3. Talked about it a little bit here as well. That if you want to watch this game tomorrow, the Badger game, on TV, and five major college basketball games for the Badgers during the season, including Michigan State, you got to download the Peacock. I'm not talking about going to the zoo or a farmer's market and buying yourself a peacock. You understand? Because these games have been peacocked up because the Big Ten has said they can only be shown on the streaming service of Peacock, which is the NBC Comcast Universal streaming service. And here's the deal. A lot of these sports bars in Madison been around for a while. I mean, they have nice TVs, but they're not all quote-unquote smart TVs. They're capable of streaming. I think it was either Scotty Bar or maybe Big Jordan's Big Ten. One of these bars like went out and bought 19 new televisions because the TVs they had, they couldn't stream them. So, I mean, and bars are having to pay an extra $200, $300. And then they call Peacock to get this set up, and they're so overwhelmed that they don't have enough people to help the bars set it up. So you may be in trouble tomorrow if you're in Madison. too many peacock feathers in here. Anyway, pardon me. These bars, this is all being set up by the Big Ten. We'll come back and have a weather check from Weatherology on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is Civic Media This Morning on the Civic Media Radio Network in for Up North News.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes, Melissa. That was like 12 years ago. What do you think the hangup is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Civic Media This Morning with Todd Albaugh, myself, and Sam Davidson on the board. We are in for Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Pat remains on vacation, back on Monday. One thing that has not changed is taking a look at weather, and we go to weatherology now. And a great Badger alum. We have, for homecoming, it is homecoming weekend here in Madison. We have brought on a Wisconsin Badger alum. Michael's back with us again. Michael, happy homecoming.
And happy homecoming, happy Friday as well.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you. I know that the Badger, the homecoming parade is this afternoon around 5 o'clock here in Madison. It's looking like maybe some wetness. It would take an umbrella or a rain jacket if you're going to go to the parade this afternoon. But what have you got for us for tomorrow on game day on Saturday and elsewhere across the state of Wisconsin today?
Yeah, we're going to stay on the cooler side of average the next several days, and actually even much of next week we'll be talking 50s for the most part for those high temperatures for most of the state. But yeah, if you're headed out to that parade later on today, I think the rain jackets will be the better of the choices, as we're going to be pretty breezy with those scattered showers out there. Winds will kick up out of the west to around 10 to 20 miles per hour. Again, some scattered showers, high temperatures this afternoon, working up into the mid, maybe some upper 50s for Madison, but much of the remainder of the state in the lower to middle range of the 50s. And even staying confined to some 40s for high temperatures, especially areas Rhinelander and points off to the north by this afternoon. Then as we head into the night tonight, as that reinforcing cold frontal boundary continues to pull away on off to the southeast, lingering chance for some scattered showers yet early on this evening. Overnight low temperatures could flirt with that freezing mark, especially areas up near Black River Falls. Wisconsin Dells getting close to that 32-degree mark. The remainder of the state, I think, will stick closer to the upper 30s and lower 40s. Looking pretty nice there for that game for tomorrow. We'll talk game time temperatures in the lower to middle range of the 50s. For the most part, looking to stay dry. I think by later on in the afternoon, though, we'll have some hit or miss type showers starting to develop as an upper level trough continues to linger across the region. Saturday still cooler than average with highs in the lower to middle 50s, but sticking closer to the upper 40s again for Rhinelander and points off to the north. Sunday, for the most part, looking to stay dry. Far northern portions of the state, areas closer to the UP, could see a few spotty showers up that way. But again, much of the remainder of us looking to stay dry. Still on the cooler side of average with mid-50s for highs there on Sunday. And looking quiet, but cooler than average yet early part of next work week. Monday, looking at low to mid-50s and mid-50s for highs into the day on Tuesday.
All right, Michael, thank you so much. So it looks like tomorrow I should be able to get by without the rain jacket in Madison. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. Again, most of those spotty showers should hold off until after the game by later on in the afternoon. But you'll definitely want to bundle up. It's going to be a touch breezy yet to northwest winds around 10 to 15.
All right. Well, today, by the way, today is World College Radio Day. Now, Sam is also a Badger alum. Did you ever work in college radio when you were here?
I didn't. Nope. I didn't get the chance, but it would have been nice.
But it sounds like you're fantastic on the radio.
I did a lot of forensics in high school. That definitely helped.
Oh, did you? Oh, where'd you go to high school at? If I could ask.
Oshkosh West.
Oh, that's right. You're an Oshkosh guy. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, great. See, a Wisconsin guy all the way around. All right, Michael, thanks so much for the great forecast for tomorrow. We'll keep that rain jacket handy for today. Have a great day.
Have a good one.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael from Weatherology. We get the weather update every day here at Up North News Radio. at 15 past the hour, 7 o'clock. Again, Pat Kreitlow back on Monday. So, yeah, Sam, it is World College Radio Day. You said you worked in college radio here in Madison.
Yes, that's right.
And I worked at college at WSUP at Platteville at the time. 91 FM. It's all different now. But, yeah, I worked there. I actually started at WRCL, Richland Center, when I was in high school, and my first 2 years at UW Richland as well. So, yes, today is college radio stations worldwide play an important role in students' education while also providing a diverse schedule of local news, music, sports, and interviews. On this first Friday of October, World College Radio Day celebrates the impact these stations have on their students and audiences. The day also invites new listeners to tune into the experience of college radio for the first time and aim to raise greater international awareness of the many college radio stations operating around the globe. You can use the hashtag World College Radio Day. It's an important part, I think. And unfortunately, it seems like we have fewer and fewer of these.
Yeah. I feel like especially during COVID, 90 FM, WWSP out of Stevens Point, in the middle of COVID, their automation system kind of fell apart.
No, really?
So they had to start signing off every night, which was a bit disappointing. But they're still going strong, which is good to hear.
Well, that's good.
Some college stations aren't so fortunate, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I mean, COVID made a big impact, right?
Yeah.
For everybody, for everything, but especially college radio. And yeah, I mean, speaking of signing off, when I started in high school at WRCO in Richland Center, we would sign off every night at midnight. And so you would read we'd do CBS News at midnight, and then you'd read the weather and a local sports score or whatever. And then you'd say, well, you know, this is Todd Alball signing off. We'll be back at 5 a.m. And then you'd play the Star Spangled Banner, and then you went in and you shut the transmitter down and it went dark.
Wow. Yeah.
And then if you had a sign-on shift, you had to be there, you know, like during the weekday at like 4:30, 4:15, 4:30.
Started up,
and then you had to turn the transmitter back on. And then about 4:55, you'd come on and say, this begins our broadcast day, play the Star Spangled Banner, and away you'd go. So it used to sign on and off on stations all the time. It was a common thing back in the day.
Yeah.
Now with computer automation, it's just around the clock for most places. But anyway, World College Radio Day, if you live in a municipality that has, I'm trying to think. So you've got WSUP in Platteville. That's still around. Your station in Point is still around?
Yep, WWSP.
All right. And Madison here, student station.
WSUM.
Very good.
92.7.
I believe Oshkosh has a student station. I'm not 100% sure. But
yes, they do. I have a friend who
works
DJs
there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you have a college radio station in your area, give them a listen today. And look, everybody has to start somewhere. But some of these people at the college station are fantastic. I mean, my broadcast partner, Kevin O'Connor, at 91 FM in Platteville, he was better at play-by-play for our college sports than the actual, like, commercial guy that I'm serious. People would tell us that, not so much for me, but they tune in for Kevin for his play-by-play. And it really ticked off the guys at WPVL, the commercial guys at Platteville. Because also Bo Ryan was the coach then at Platteville, who went on, of course, to coach Milwaukee and then took Wisconsin to two Final Fours in a national title game, which Duke stole from us, by the way, in 2015. But that's not that I'm bitter yet or anything. But no, Kevin O'Connor was a fantastic guy and called a great game. So you never know when you listen into a college radio station where some of these people might go. So check it out, National College Radio Today. Also, and I had not heard of this one before, Sam, it is National Orange Wine Day. Orange wine.
Orange wine?
Yeah, have you ever had orange wine?
No, I've only had wine like once or twice.
Yeah, now I've heard of Orange Man wine in Donald Trump, but that's a whole other, as it turns out, that's an entirely different thing. National Orange Wine Day. And let me see, of course, my computer freezes up, but there we go. So on October 6th, National Orange Wine Day takes a bold sip of an ancient method of winemaking. This little-known style of wine shines with its bold flavor and auburn color. It says join the celebration as it gains some appreciation at vineyards. Originally made nearly 6,000 years ago. Now, I'm old, Sam, but I was not
around. It's been around quite a while.
I was not around 6,000 years ago. Started in Eastern Europe. The technique for making orange wine is being rediscovered. Surprisingly, winemakers do not add oranges to the wine at all. Unlike the latest beer trends, the wine comes by its color naturally. Fermented from white wine grapes, the orange wine develops through more skin contact during the fermentation process. Makers treat the white grapes like red grapes, preserving the bolder body and tannins. As a result, the ordinarily white wine will deepen into a brandy orange color. So there you go. As Johnny Carson and Chris Myers once said, I did not know that.
Orange, I did not either.
No, I've never. Now I kind of want to find a place that carries it and try it. I've got a picture of it here. It looks beautiful. I mean, if you're into orange, auburn wine color things, it looks great. So and if you could find some, today is National Orange Wine Day. Also, National Coaches Day. Appropriately enough, with all the high school sports going on, my dad was a longtime high school wrestling coach and also cross-country coach at Ithaca and UW-Richland, UW-Green Bay, Shawnee, Winneconne, coached to all those places. Today honors all the men and women who inspire us to work harder and do our best. Across the country, in every community, a coach organizes teams, plans, practices, trains, motivates. So take time out today to recognize your local coach. And sometimes it's the coaches, coaching your kids, peewee league that are doing the most, right? And that's the thing about sports I love, amongst other things. But I still believe sports is great for kids because if it's done the right way, it teaches them to be bigger than themselves, to work towards a team goal, whether it's soccer or even tennis or running, cross country, track, football, baseball, basketball. I don't care what it is, any sport out there. To have your kid in a sport, and it's not about, oh my gosh, you're going to go be the best and make millions of dollars. It's about learning to work together with other people and working towards a common goal and not giving up and persevering and realizing you're not always going to win. Those are basic tenets and lessons that if you have a really good youth coach, it can change a kid's life. So happy National Coaches Day to all the coaches out there. And, congratulations. Did you have a special coach that you'd like to talk about? Give us a call. We'd love to hear about that. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. If you have a favorite coach or a coach's story, you'd like to share a coach that changed your life. Or if you worked in college radio as well. Also happy to hear from you as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Happy to talk with you this morning about that. We're going to come back and talk more about this. We'll pick up this story we had in hour number one. Craig Gilbert of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on this new Marquette Law School poll that came out yesterday showing this weird juxtaposition that Trump and Biden going back and forth in who leads whom in terms of likely voters, registered voters. Why do people say that they still trust Biden? Pardon me. They say that they trust Trump more on the economy, but yet they're going to vote for Biden. It's really wacky. And maybe the best thing that comes out of this is that people just don't know what they want, right? That they're just fed up with all of it. Or maybe the point is that we in the media haven't done a good enough job of talking about the facts out there. That's what we try to do here at Up North News Radio. Pat Kreitlow does, and we do in the afternoon at 1 to 3. Many of our fine programs do. Try to bring you the facts, the truth, so that you know what's going on and you can vote accordingly. We'll come back and talk about all that. Take your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. He's Sam. I'm Todd. This is Civic Media This Morning, filling in for Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio Gaga. All we hear is Radio Gaga. Radio Gaga. Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. The president says he has no choice but to extend barriers at the southern border. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
President Biden insists that his hands are tied here and that blocking the construction of a border wall would actually break the law.
The administration is planning to expel thousands of Venezuelans as U.S. cities struggle with an overwhelming number of migrants. Former President Trump backs a candidate for House Speaker, correspondent Nicole Killian.
Former President Trump at one point said he would even be willing to take the speaker's job himself temporarily and visit the Hill next week. But now he is endorsing House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan.
Steve Scalise also wants the speakership. Jailed Iranian activist Narges Mohammadi has been awarded this year's Nobel Peace Prize.
For her fight against the oppression of women in Iran and her fight to promote human rights and freedom for all.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25. 5 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Well, he had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How did they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Bach.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughter have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Timeout!
Oh, right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock and roll feeling in your bones. Put taps on your toes and get gone, get a rhythm. When you get the blues.
Welcome back to Civic Media This Morning on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Sam Davidson. I'm Todd Allball, filling in for Pat Kreitlow. and Up North News. Pat will be back on Monday after a well-deserved vacation. Glad to have you along. It is now 33 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock as you commute to work and to school this morning. Looks like an on-time morning, at least among major thoroughfares across the state of Wisconsin. No major accidents to report. Had that one accident northbound on I-94 around Racine, Kenosha this morning. That accident has now been cleared. Traffic, though, still trying to get back to normal patterns this morning, so allow some extra time around Racine, Kenosha this morning. Otherwise, maybe the exception of Highway 26 around Rosendale this morning due to some construction. That is delayed as well. But otherwise, most of the other roadways are on time this morning. Checking the weather forecast across the state of Wisconsin, as we said from Weatherology earlier, looks like showers throughout the day. Also, some breezy conditions. It's a transitional day as that cold front moves through the state. So take a rain jacket with you if you're going to be going out the door today. Looks like those showers will be scattered. No major thunderstorms. So that means that most high school football games should be able to be played, although it may be soggy a little bit later on this afternoon tonight. And here in Madison, it is homecoming 2023 for the University of Wisconsin Badgers. And there was a homecoming parade tonight at 5. Take a rain jacket or umbrella to that. Badgers kick off tomorrow at 11 a.m. here at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison against the Scarlet Knights, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. You can hear that game across the Civic Media Radio Network on the Civic Media app. Just download it. It's free on your Apple and Android device. You can stream the game tomorrow. And also you can listen to it over the air if you're in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin Rapids, and Amory on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is National Coaches Day here on this sixth day of October on a Friday, 2023. If you have a favorite coach story, a person that impacted your life for the better, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We'd love to hear from you or anything else that's on your mind on this TGIF Friday, October 6th. Let's go to the phone lines. Our friend Bill in Oconomowoc listening in this morning. We appreciate you, Bill. What say you?
Oh, thanks so much. I this station is just so on target all the time. But as far as Coaches Day, I'll tell you what sports has done for my family. I teach leadership. I talked about that last week with you. I know I did. I teach leadership. Well, one of the big things with sports and kids, my son and daughter, my daughter is vice president of a major health corporation, and it is because of her sports that turned her into quite a leader. She was a record setter basketball player in junior high, went to the national championships. Wow. My son, he wrestled, went to, I think, state, and now he's 50 and he's retiring. Now, my grandkids, one of them was coached by Larry Heisel from the Brewers.
Wow.
Long story how that happened. That's a picture of beer story. But anyhow, he now is working on that project in Waukesha from the Michigan, Lake Michigan to Waukesha Water Project.
Wow.
He just moved up the ladder of success. His sister graduated last year from UW with a degree in criminal justice. She's in the justice system. I can't say enough about sports. And my youngest granddaughter, they're talking to her about playing basketball at Arrowhead, and she's only 11. She's setting records. and same thing. My point is, for kids to succeed today in life, if they have reasonable or good academics but excel in sports, they're going to be a success the minute they hit the real world.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Bill.
Thanks for talking about great coaches.
We appreciate you, Bill. Thank you so much for calling in.
Day.
Yep, you too. Bill in Oconomowoc, always a great call. We appreciate him listening down there in beautiful Oconomowoc. Right there. I mean, what better testimonial is there than what Bill just said? I mean, the impact that sports athletics has had on his life, on his kids' life, on his grandkids' life. And again, it's not about always being the best kid out there, the best athlete, or always winning or winning the championship. It's about being involved in something greater than yourself. Now, wrestling, my dad was a wrestling coach for a long time. You know, that had the both elements, actually, because wrestling is an individual sport. In a way, you go to individual state and work through as an individual wrestler. But the dual meets are a team sport. You're trying to get points, so you have a team win. Then you have the state team tournament as well. So you have, you know, tennis, I would say, is certainly an individual tennis. You know, you have doubles, but tennis oftentimes is more of an individual than team sport. But most of these sports in our middle schools and high schools are about team sports. And as I said before, I think one of the really valuable things is, you know, the Pee Wee League, the soccer leagues, the T-ball leagues. When they get involved at 4, 5, 6 years old, they don't know what they're doing, you know. I have a friend of mine who was a kid at like 5. He was in a T-ball league and you know, he hits the ball and he just starts running and, you know, I mean, it's just fun, right? And that's what athletics and sports should be. It should be fun. And yes, as you get older, you're competitive. And to Bill's point, it teaches you to have drive and to overcome adversity. But none of that happens without good coaches. And believe me, it's getting more and more difficult, just like it's getting more and more difficult to recruit and retain high school officiating staff. It is also getting very difficult to get middle school or even Pee Wee League coaches. Why? Not really because of the kids or the players, because of the parents. I mean, some of these people are just crazy. They think their kid is the next NBA star, NFL star. And they come out of the stands and they yell obscenities and they go crazy and they make threats. There's no room for that at any level of any athletics, let alone in your local community. So if you have someone who's willing to, and I realize that a lot of these coaches, even in smaller towns, get paid something. But you look at the time and the effort they have to put in, it's essentially glorified volunteering most of the time. But if you have a person that's willing to dedicate themselves to coaching young people, don't be yelling at them. Don't be going out of the stands and cursing and saying, why didn't my kid get more playing time and all that? If you really disagree that much with a coach, pull them out. Go to a different school, whatever, different league. But don't spend your time yelling at the coach, and certainly not at the poor officiating crew. Those folks, by the time they have time away from their own family and drive half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, and then get paid whatever, 50, 75 bucks to coach or to officiate a game, again, it's glorified volunteer. They do it because they actually want to help kids. Because you can't have games without officials. So give those people a break on this National Coaching Day. It is 41 minutes now past the hour of 7 o'clock. Temperatures remain in the upper 40s across the state of Wisconsin right now. Right now in Madison, it is a beautiful morning. About 48 degrees, partly sunny skies. The sun is hitting the side of the Overture Center here across the State Street. We are about a block off the Capitol Square in Madison. A beautiful day today. That may change from west to east today, as we're going to have showers moving across the state. Take a rain jacket with you. Looks like most high school football games will get in tonight, although they may be soggy. So again, take an umbrella or rain jacket, galoshes with you. And then tomorrow, going to be a beautiful day on tap, 54, 55 degrees, somewhere around there, sunny skies, and a beautiful day in Wisconsin tomorrow for most things, including that Wisconsin Badger football game. It's homecoming here at Madison. If you're watching on the stream, that's why I have my Wisconsin clothes on today. And the Badgers take on Scarlet Knights of Rutgers tomorrow at 11 a.m. You can hear the game right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. News headlines from yesterday across the state of Wisconsin. The big one, that Governor Tony Evers was not at the Capitol on Wednesday when a shirtless man showed up with a dog and, more importantly, with a loaded handgun. He did not have a permit for said handgun. Of course, in Wisconsin, you can get a permit for concealed carry, meaning it has to be holstered and in a pants or under a jacket or whatever, but you cannot yet have open carry in this state. And because he did not have a license and he had this gun that was loaded and he wanted to talk to the governor, he said, about violence against men. They took him into custody, booked him, put him in jail. And whoever the judge is here in Madison and Dane County and the district attorney set the bail so low that this guy paid it himself within minutes or hours and was back out on the street later on Wednesday and returned to the Capitol at around 9 p.m. Wednesday night. Now, the Capitol closes to the general public at 6 p.m. They lock the doors unless you work there, like I did, and you have a pass to get in. You can't get in, but this guy shows up with an AK-47 style automatic rifle loaded, again asking and wanting to talk to the governor. The man was again taken into custody for not having a permit, for having a loaded firearm. And surprise, surprise, concerns about mental health issues. Last report this morning, the man is still in protective custody in the hospital. They have not released his name that we have seen yet this morning. And still waiting to hear if they're going to file charges. The governor, as we said, was not in the building. He later yesterday credited the state police, the state patrol, and the Capitol Police for doing an outstanding job. And he was very low-key about it. He's like, look, you don't want this to happen, but it did. And when asked if they're going to change security procedures at the Capitol, he said, well, you know, we might look at that. But understandably, he said, we're not going to telegraph that. We're not going to talk about security procedures of the general public. As someone who worked at the Capitol for several years, one of the great things that I've said this is that the Capitol is open. Anybody can walk in. You can see your state elected official. There is one desk. It's not like a office desk. I mean, it's bigger, like a reception wood desk. And I think they have protective glass or something by it now. And there's usually one or two armed Capitol police officers there that you have to go by before you can get to the governor's office, the attorney general's office, and the governor's conference room. Governor's conference room, by the way, is one of the most beautiful rooms in the entire state capitol, one of my favorite rooms. But now we'll see. They may fortify that a bit more around the governor's office proper. And again, my personal opinion is I would hate to see metal detectors put into the state capitol. It's happened a couple of times before, once after 9/11 for a few months. And then during Act 10, when Scott Walker was afraid of teachers. Not making that up. But you can walk into the state capitol today. And it's one of the great free access things about our state. The governor, as we said, is fine. There is no direct threat to his life as he was not in the building. But again, when it comes to red flag laws, reasonable gun control laws, as a hunter myself, I believe in having firearms for hunting, but I do not believe anybody needs an AR-15 or an AK-47 to hunt. Just don't. So we shall see where this debate of gun laws goes in the state of Wisconsin. Going to come back and finish up this story a little bit. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning by Craig Gilbert on this Marquette Law School poll, which is Marquette Law School polls renowned across the state of Wisconsin and also the nation. This is a national poll. Donald Trump leading Joe Biden amongst registered voters in the national poll, but Biden leads Trump amongst likely voters. If you want to weigh in, we'd appreciate your phone call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Always glad to have you along here. As we said, Pat Kreitlow is back with Up North News on Monday. I'm Todd Alba, along with the fantastic Sam Davidson, some of the best hair in the business, by the way.
Why, thank you.
As a guy who doesn't have much left. Eternally jealous of good hair. See, we'll come back, talk about hair, talk about the happenings at the governor's office and this new poll by Marquette. Don't go anywhere. This is the Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It only cost a dime, just a nickel a shoe. It does $1 million worth of good for you. Get a rhythm when you get the blues.
It's
the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's going to be cloudy and windy with scattered off and on showers possible here through the day today. We'll get to 49 for a high. The wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to around 30 at times. Tonight, mostly clear, 35. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 52. By Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover.
Welcome back to Civic Media This Morning. I'm Todd Alba, along with the outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Sam Davidson, on the board. Appreciate having you with us. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock at the top of the hour. National news, a check of weather, and then on the east coast of Wisconsin, you can check out the Earl Ingram Show with fantastic Earl Ingram. And in the western and part of the state, it's going to be the Stu Daniels Show with the equally talented Stu Daniels across the Civic Media Radio Network. Checking out a couple of reports now, new accidents popping up. This one in the Milwaukee area on the ramp from I-43 north to 141, pardon me, from the ramp from I-43 north to I-41, 894 north, 0.3 mile beyond I-43 north. And we have a right shoulder incident there. There's a crash, and the right lane is blocked there around the Milwaukee area. And again, further down on I-41, 94 north, this is heading north of the ramp from County E down near the Racine area. It looks like that is a smaller crash there. And then one more to get to this morning on the docket. This one just south of Portage on I-39, 9094, 0.6 mile on the northbound lane. Looks like there is an accident there as well. So a few accidents on the main thoroughfares. Please drive carefully. Highway 26 around Rosendale also delayed due to construction this morning. Weather forecast across the state of Wisconsin. The highs are temperatures right now in the mid to upper 40s. Looks like rain will spread throughout the day from west to east. Take a rain jacket along. Most high school football games should get in, as we don't expect these to be thunderstorms or lightning per se, but it will get soggy throughout the rest of the day. So get out there and enjoy that sunshine. Right now, if you're watching on the stream, this is fantastic lighting, Sam. I don't get this in the afternoon. Look, it looks heavenly. I've got the sun coming in here in the window on State Street. It's a beautiful day here across Wisconsin. Talking about the top news story, Governor Tony Evers, it was announced yesterday, his life was threatened. He was not in the Capitol on Wednesday when an armed, shirtless gunman entered and wanted to talk to the governor. He was arrested and then let go on his own recognizance, posted bail, and came back to the Capitol at 9 o'clock on Wednesday night with a loaded assault rifle. He was taken back into custody and is in observation in a hospital at last report. What do you think? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, thanks for listening in, my friend. Mark, what say you?
Well, I think it's kind of, you know, that it's just tragic that this happened. I mean, that, I don't know, tragic is the right word, but it's sad that this happened. Mm. But let's back to, you know, when Governor Walker was responding to the Act 10 protest, when people were merely singing in the Capitol there. And the Capitol was filled with law enforcement. I mean, there was guys, you know, colleagues of mine from the DNR, the wardens were, you know, that in the Capitol as well, because they bringing in county sheriffs as well. And there was no people bringing in firearms. There was no, you know, that the mere act of just singing in protest against Scott Walker was enough to make him wet his diapers and never showed his face coming into the Capitol.
Yeah.
I mean, he never walked up and faced the protesters at all. I mean, that in spite of what he says, oh, I faced 100,000 protesters. He never did. Let's remember, he went, you know, parked in the Justice Building, came through the tunnel to get to his office.
Yeah.
I mean, he never once stepped out on the balcony to wave at the protesters or say anything to address the protesters, to address the singers. And I was there a lot of days because I'd walk over there at lunchtime and sing, or mm-hmm. over in break time and sing for a few minutes. And it is just ridiculous that this kind of thing is allowed to happen, and that you can actually bring, that anybody can bring weapons into the Capitol other than law enforcement is staggers my imagination.
Yeah.
That something bad could happen with somebody coming in with a concealed weapon doing something with that, and that's perfectly allowable. Half, you know, how many of the Republicans are sitting there on the floor of the chambers with their little concealed, you know, weapon and saying, right. "Oh, I feel so tough because I got this." I mean, it takes more than that to prove yourself an adult or a man or whatever that than what you're packing, you know, in your holster.
I'm glad, Mark, that you brought those two points. One, real quickly here, because I was working in the building at the time in 2011. To your first point, that's where, you know, I disagree with Glenn Grothman on most, if not all, policy issues. But I'll give the guy credit. He went out there and actually walked amongst the people and talked to them. So, I give Glenn a lot of credit. He put on his rain jacket or whatever and just meandered around people. He was a state senator at the time. So, I mean, you're right. Scott Walker didn't even have the courage to go out and talk to people. At least Glenn Grothman did that. And, yes, to your point about there were 100,000 protesters, that was the estimate inside and around the building on the grounds. But my former boss I was working for at the time, State Senator Dale Schultz, was a member of the, it's called SCRB, stands for State Capitol and Executive Residence Board. And it's made up of bipartisan group of legislators, senators and assembly people, and also somebody from the governor's office, or actually it was Tonette Walker appeared there as well, the governor's wife, and state officials. And the protesters in 2011 Act 10 were so cautious and careful, they brought painter's tape in to tape up anything on the wall so as not to, like, use duct tape and do damage. And the amount of damage was so insignificant after the Act 10 protests that literally the Capitol staff had to use a pencil lead, like the tip of a pencil, when they took pictures of quote-unquote damage in the wall, because it was so small and insignificant. Probably the biggest, you know, thing that had to be done after the Act 10 protests is many of the floors had to be professionally cleaned because, hey, you get 100,000 people going through there in spring, you know, it tracks in a lot of mud and that sort of thing. But yes, the protests of Act 11 were enormously peaceful. Almost no physical damage done to the Capitol at all. The grounds outside are a couple of places where the grass had to be replaced because, again, it was spring. But to Mark's point, it was an enormously peaceful process of protesting during Act 10. And Scott Walker had to put in metal detectors because he was very scared of those people. Anyway, great show today. We'll talk more on our show this afternoon between 1 and 3 about this Marquette Law School poll. Perhaps other shows will be talking about it as well. It's fascinating. Again, Donald Trump leading Joe Biden amongst registered voters in a new national poll by Marquette Law School poll, but Biden leads Trump amongst likely voters. And it's a great story by Greg Gilbert in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. Pick it up in your newsstand or online, whichever you prefer. The bottom line here that Professor Charles Franklin, the head of the poll, makes is 2024 is going to be once again fantastically close. And I say fantastically, not like I want it to be, but as a heads up that this is not a slam dunk for either side. And again, we breaking news actually on the CBS News wires, U.S. employers added 336,000 jobs in September, blowing past economists' predictions and expectations. So once again, the economy is booming, adding jobs, bringing inflation down, lower gas prices. That's the record of Joe Biden. That's what we have to talk about more. Stay tuned for Earl Ingram and Stu Daniels. We'll see you at 1 o'clock.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.